קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם בעמוד 33.
We're reading on Kabbalah for the student. On page 99, The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy, we're reading from the subtitle, Philosophy with Regard to His Essence. Questions may be asked on kab.tv. Selected questions will be aired. Kabbalah for the student, page 99. Article, The Wisdom of Kabbalah and Philosophy, Philosophy with Regard to Its Essence.
So we talked last time that philosophy, about philosophy of Kabbalah, that has to do with philosophers, and that it's those who know all the sources of philosophy and how they relate to Kabbalah. We have maybe a few other excerpts about this.
Yes, we have a list of researchers and philosophers. We have Johannes Reuchlin that lived in the 15th century. He was the German Caesar's advisor. He says, "My teacher Pythagoras, the father of philosophy, got his wisdom from the Jews, not the Greeks, and he's the first who translated the word Kabbalah, which was unknown to the people of his time. He translated it to the word philosophy. He also writes that the Pythagoras philosophy stems from the infinite wisdom of Kabbalah. Also, Kabbalah does not leave our life in dust, but raises our knowledge to the peak of knowledge. Giovanni Pico, 15th century, Italian scientist, very famous in the time of the Renaissance, he writes, that very same interpretation of this law revealed to Moses in godly revelation is called Kabbalah. In another place he writes, there are actually two sciences. One is called combinatorics, and the other speaks about the forces of the upper forces. And the Jews call them both Kabbalah. Another philosopher, an MD and a professor of philosophy, in Fabia University, he was the Caesar Maximilian's personal advisor. He writes, the way to attain all godly secrets from the Torah of Moses is called Kabbalah. He also writes that the literal meaning of the Bible belongs to the certain time it is read, but the algorithm of it is above time and space. Another one, Tor Prastus Paracelsus, something like that. He was a scientist, one of the founders of modern science, and he wrote something short, but he said, study Kabbalah, it will open up everything for you.
Where does this actually stem from? From the approach of Kabbalah towards reality. We are in a certain reality. Who are we? We don't know who we are. What the reality is, we don't know. We have some imagination, some sensation that this is me and there's something around me. How do I come to the true perception? And is it not an imagination? Am I in some other form, only in a dream right now, and I'm feeling all this? Is it a dream within a dream? Is it some, are we different kind of creatures and we only appear? This is, what is it called to be, that I am, what I think about myself, what I feel, and what is the world? And this is the foundation of everything. From the sensation that one feels his reality in some reality, some external reality. From this, we start to investigate and study everything. And this is how Kabbalah relates to its study. Science says what we feel, this is what we feel, this is us, and this is the world. And we only operate from this, meaning from these senses that we have now, and and here, and within the nature that we are investigating it. We don't talk about the investigator and researcher himself. He's studying within his own senses, meaning his desire to receive is not given for use in all sorts of other forms. It's not put for changes, only on what is perceived. Meaning, all in all, immediately in advance, we are in a perception, in our study that is very limited. Because we're not talking about changes that are within the vessel, within the kli. Let's say we have a certain vessel which absorbs something or receives something, one sensor. So we talk about only what it receives or what it grasps, not all the other conditions or all the different parameters in it, all the foundations, the bases, and so forth, and therefore why we feel more or less, yes, not, according to what it perceives from the outside. No, we talk only as it is. That's how it feels. Meaning we are in nature, in science, we kind of relate to the nature of a person without changing anything. We perceive only what is called like science of this world, meaning with the perception of this creature, which is called man or human of this world. Of course, it's a limited thing. And other than that, we can't even investigate what we're investigating, because we don't know anything about the person. We don't adjoin the thinking, feeling, investigating person to what he feels and so and thinks. And therefore, what comes out is that our perception is very narrow in what we study. If we were to study a person, that he is the one who feels, he's the one who absorbs, he's the sensor, and in him there are five senses, and after those five senses, his feelings and his mind and how they work and how he absorbs in such a way and how he can change himself in order to notice changes in what he feels, and how are these changes in him and not in the world around him, and how the world appears to him, and so forth. In short, we would enter a totally different science, which it is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. Why? Because then we change the person, and according to the person, we see what he absorbs, what he receives, which changes. And then what happens is that every single small change in the person, we see all the wisdoms that he absorbs, all the perception that is different. Meaning we have changes in, let's say, in physics, chemistry, zoology, biology, and all the different natural sciences. Nature is called what a person perceives about the external reality. And this all changes according to every parameter that's in a person. So how can you live in such a manner? So therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is a universal wisdom that doesn't talk about the external perception that a person perceives, rather only in accordance to the person himself, what degree he's in, what he perceives. And then it talks about the impressions within the five senses, because there are endless impressions that we can talk about this in. We can't talk about this in science, rather science talks about foundations. What I change in me, in my foundations, which is my feelings and my mind, and mind and heart, and according to that, how I perceive my reality within my mind and my feelings. And of course, reality is in relation, in relativity to me. There's nothing absolute, rather other than the upper force, which is outside of me. Therefore, it's called upper. What is it? I don't know. Only only the forces according to towards my senses. And here is the main problem between the wisdom of Kabbalah and philosophy, that the first philosophers were aware, those that were big in philosophy were aware of this perception, this incidental, narrow perception of philosophy. If you don't receive the or accept the person himself as part of the changes. But most of the regular modern philosophies, especially the modern ones, in the descent of the generations, don't reach these depths. They simply study different sources of philosophy, and this is how they advance in all sorts of their works. They write and write all the time. Books from study, and they rely on each other. He wrote this and that, so therefore it's the truth. That's how it is with them. Not that they reveal something on their own or make themselves as a vessel of study of nature. And from studying nature and writing that each philosopher is a revealer of reality. Rather, it's all coming from contemplations and each writing from different compilations of different books that he read and so forth. And this is the big difference between philosophy and Kabbalah, that already from those times that the philosophers stopped to accept themselves. Meaning they accepted that the person we don't change, not the way they learned from the Kabbalists, that the main thing is the change in the person. And from the change of the person, you investigate, you study reality. And from that, we get all the Parzufim, the worlds, and all this Sfirot, and everything that Kabbalists write from the changes that occur in them. What we don't reveal, we don't know it in a name or in a word. Because attainment is considered the most deepest understanding that there is within the vessel. Therefore, what comes out is that since then, the philosophy actually disconnected from Kabbalah, and the wisdom of Kabbalah continued in its path. That everything depends on a person, that a person who feels, and we're not allowed to talk about something that's disconnected from a person, which exists that way in nature. And philosophers accepted it this way. They say, well, he felt this way, I feel this way. Yeah, you see, this is green, and he says it's green. The sun, he sees that it's sun. So these are, there's no changes here. And thus, philosophy developed until the approach of what we call Newton's days, that what's in a person and what we feel in this person also, that's how it happens on us. Until they developed more and more, and they saw anyhow that there are certain clashes within the perception, and also a problem with they're kind of advancing towards the method of Einstein, where it has to do with the observer and where he is relative to what he's observing, and in accordance, there are already changes. Meaning, it's important to us to know. For us to know also who the observer is, and in quantum physics we see already that a person who observes or is actually making changes on the particles there, and we can't say that it's this is how the process would have happened if he wouldn't look, or whether he would look. To the degree that we're already starting to get close to the boundary, to the barrier of exiting philosophy towards Kabbalah, that we're truly saying that the person, in his observation, by him existing, by him thinking about the reality, he's actually really changing the reality. Even they say that I looked at some telescope on some stars or some part in the space, that area is already changing and so forth. And this is said by people It's not out of like some beliefs in divinity or in something that they read in Kabbalah. Rather, they have something to rely on in this assumption. So anyhow, after we went through so many confusions with philosophy and its perception and its attitude towards the world, that it brought us to thousands of years of the wrong development, that actually we needed to develop according to the wisdom of Kabbalah in a simple manner. The problem was only that towards philosophy, philosophy was strengthened by our ego more, because it's comfortable for a person and it's good. I don't change. I am how I am. The whole world can change except for me. The world is not a result of me, and that I changed, and because of that, the world changed. It just exists the way it exists, and I am in it or don't, or I'm not in it. The world will continue to exist. This is called an objective, perception. And in the end, we see that after thousands of years of these confusions, even though we're used to them, and it's comfortable for us egoistically to think this way, and anyhow, without the integral education, this is how you perceive life. But this approach is a false approach. And nature is revealing to us that anyhow, Kabbalah is correct, and we are once again reaching that perception of reality, and all of philosophy has gone bankrupt, and because of its approach, especially because of its approach towards the perception of reality. Then after Einstein came, after him several other researchers that got the scientific study closer to research towards Kabbalah. And thus today we can talk about their Kabbalistic perception of reality with an open, in an open manner, and there's no one who's going to laugh or someone who will think that it's some imagination, mysticism, or something like that, because even scientists now have revealed this and reached this. This is on the side of science. And on the other hand, what he writes also about psychology, that it too, after it worked on a person and wanted to just create a certain order, meaning not about the external perception reality, but about the perception of a person, it too revealed that in a regular manner we cannot study the reality in a person. Rather, we need to know about the changes that are occurring inside a person, and we cannot. We're incapable of knowing those unless we exit a person, because everything we study, we need to study from the outside so that there will be a difference between who's studying and what he's studying. Object and subject. And therefore, psychology too, although it's ready for dozens of years and going bankrupt, all in all, it only exists about 100 years. Because we have been advancing to the correction of the soul in the last generation, then psychology developed, especially Freud, in the beginning of the 20th century. And it says also that we must study the person in order to know about the perception of his world and who he is. And for this, too, we need the wisdom of Kabbalah, because it helps us to exit from a person and to study him from the outside. And that he identifies himself with the point in the heart. If so, then he can research all his attributes, both corporeal, physical ones, bodily ones, we can say. And we can see that from the perception of reality, the external one, which is philosophy, and the internal one, that is psychology, we come to the Kabbalistic perception, and therefore we study as the one true one. Okay, some other sentences maybe?
Yeah, there's Kurt Sprengler, lived in the 18th century. He was a doctor and a botanist from Germany. He says, the first person knew Kabbalah. He knew the imprint of all matters, and therefore he gave the animals their proper names, which resemble their true nature. Another one, Lulus Raimondus, lived in the 13th century, was a poet and philosopher, was a leading researcher in the field of Kabbalah and Islam. He writes, as in theology, sciences and mathematics, they all receive their roots from the wisdom of Kabbalah. Therefore, these wisdoms are inferior to Kabbalah, and therefore their proof lacks without the wisdom of Kabbalah. Another one, Friedrich Schlegel, he was a German poet, philosopher. He writes, the true beauty is only the Kabbalah. They also have Johann Wolfgang, lived in the 18th century, was a poet, a scientist, philosopher. He writes, the Kabbalistic approach to the Bible is the only approach that is in one line with the infinite, endless happiness in its total wisdom.
Meaning we also see that all the researchers and the thinkers, as they talk about the internal form of the perception of reality, they see that especially the approach, as much as they understand in Kabbalah, of course not. They weren't in attaining anything. They weren't under attainment. But they understood that this approach in the change of a person to see how reality changes is the true and scientific approach. And this actually is what moved them. We'll continue. What does it say?
Title, Philosophy with Regard to Its Essence. Philosophy loves to concern itself with his essence and prove which rules do not apply to him. However, Kabbalah has no dealings whatsoever with it. For how can the unattainable and imperceptible be defined? Indeed, a negative definition is just as valid as a positive definition, for if you see an object from a distance and recognize its negatives, meaning all that it is not, that too is considered seeing and some extent of recognition. If an object is truly out of sight, even its negative characteristics are not apparent. For example, if we see a black image from a distance, but can still determine that it is neither human nor bird, it is considered vision. If it had been even further still, we would not have been able to determine that it is not a person. That is the origin of their confusion and invalidity. Philosophy loves to pride itself on understanding all the negatives about his essence. However, their sages of Kabbalah put their hand to their mouth at this point and do not give him even a simple name. For we do not define by name or word that which we do not attain. This is because a word designates some degree of attainment. However, Kabbalists do speak a great deal about his illumination in reality, meaning all those illuminations that they have actually attained, as validly as tangible attainment.
Meaning there are three different things here. There's the Kabbalist, and there's his essence that we don't talk about because we can't talk about it. It's something that we cannot attain, because all our talking is from attainment, the attainment in our senses, that we can study things that we can in our senses, and therefore there's the feeling part, which is the desire, and the measuring part, and studying part for the mind, which is built by the desire. And if we don't receive in them any impression, then we have no perception, as we say. The perception is within the desire, which is in the study by the mind. And therefore, in his essence, in Atzmuto, we have no attainment. There is a form, and the form which is dressed in the matter. This is what we study in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, and the abstract parts we cannot talk about, but the philosophy doesn't even talk about from below up. They immediately jump and talk about some upper force that exists outside of us, and start to philosophize about it as if they feel, perceive, and can, from their study, talk. This approach is actually what broke philosophy and made it to a not serious thing, and therefore it's not related to the attitude towards it is not very serious at all. Because they started to talk about things that we can't perceive, we can't attain. And then each one can just talk about things that, whatever he feels like. And therefore they start to do in the foundations of philosophy that a person can build his perception of reality of his own, each and every one. And whenever someone talks, it's as if it's legal. And thus, in such a manner, in this pluralistic manner, supposedly, they get let all their imaginations to go wild and to burst out to all the directions, and therefore nothing from the serious basis, realistic thing remained. And therefore we have the wisdom of Kabbalah, which talks about only studying reality towards the receiver, and then it is divided to three things: the one who perceives it, which is the person, what's perceived in him, in his senses, according to the law of equivalence of form, and what changes in him, if his form changes. That a person is a form and matter, as much as the form will be in order to bestow or in order to receive, then he will change and he will be able to perceive what's inside of him. What's outside a person, we never attain. What Kabbalists attain, they attain. We can only use what they attain, not in the form that we're studying what they reveal. We have nothing to study unless we perceive it and attain it ourselves. Only we can use the wisdom of Kabbalah in order to draw the force from there to try and reach them like little children who want to be big. This is what we use, meaning we use all of wisdom, the wisdom of Kabbalah, as a virtue. And when you already reach the degree of revelation, then there we are, and we can understand, we can study, we can research what's there. And from the study book, we can see how much we are right or wrong, and then we can use the book as a true, how should I say, a guide. A guide. And in such a manner, we advance. Now, what there truly is outside of us, we can never say. We can read in the books what they wrote, for they can advance according to the changes in their the advanced perception of reality. They told us about these 125 degrees of perception, of attainment, and what they perceive in each and every degree, through what they reach the construction of this wider perception, that their vessel is already called a soul, a neshama, and as much as they perceive, and what they perceive in the soul is called godliness, the force of bestowal, which is revealed in them, according to the equivalence of their properties with this force, meaning the desire to receive, which receives the form of bestowal, it feels that something fills it, and this something they call the upper force or light. Whereas this too, we only talk about it being only towards a person. Light is the impression, the expression in our vessels from something that fills it. This is how it feels. But here we're precise and we say that light is a phenomena within the vessel. That outside the vessel, there is no light. We say about the abstract light, which is outside. But even when we say that it's outside of us, it's also in our vessels, only in more distant vessels from the clearer perception. These are the vessels of Igulim, of the circles, and so forth. Meaning, if we have something to say, we only always talk about a phenomena which is within our senses, within our desire. First of all, the desire which includes it. And this is how we advance. Therefore, Atzmuto, his essence, we say, of course, there's an upper root, but it's not something that we can ever feel or present. Of course, there's some upper root, which is the source for what we, for us existing, and for what we feel, and for all the changes in us, and all that we feel, we feel only according to our attributes alone, our qualities alone. And therefore we say, Bore, Creator, come and see. Bo'ure. And what I perceive inside my senses, this is called Creator. Therefore there's a person, there's what he feels, and there's a source from where he feels it, we don't attain. And this is how the wisdom of Kabbalah especially describes all of reality. And therefore, from this approach, it calls to each and every person to start and study reality, that this is the mitzvah, the precept. I mean, it's like know your Creator, your Lord, the Creator, and work it, Him. And how? By a person changing, constantly changing, in order to identify with the upper force, with the Creator. And in such a manner, he feels the changes that are in him, that are done according to that upper force, and then, from these changes that he attained, he also feels within him those phenomena that already, that these phenomena are the upper force to which he yearns. And thus, from your actions, we got to know you. What comes out of this is that the Creator is the new form, the changing form, which comes into a person which dresses in a person. Meaning, what is Bore, what is the Creator? The changes, the new changes in a person, the qualities of bestowal of a person that are revealed. And therefore, the study of Kabbalah, the wisdom of Kabbalah, stands on this demand in a very pedantic manner, that not to take the perception of what a person perceives outside of the perceiver, because that immediately becomes philosophy. Yes.
A few things we should read. Baal Salam, letter 17, he writes, everything spiritual, its livelihood is the extent of knowledge of it. Another article, Mind and Body, says there is not a single word by the sages or even in the prophecy, the wisdom of Kabbalah, is not based on, does not have a fundamental basis. And he writes that it's a commandment for us. It must be known because by command to do so, it says that you should know it today and you should return it to your heart because the Creator is the Lord. That we must know in knowledge and not just faith the matters that sit in the heart.
Yes, that it sits on your heart. We don't understand this commandment. The heart, meaning the desire to receive, which must receive the form as the source.
Also, in the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, Baal Salam writes that the Kabbalah does not use words or terms, but only ones that are realistic. And that is an absolute law in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that what we do not attain, we do not define by word or name. And the final degree of understanding, meaning prior to the state that it's completely revealed to one's eyes, as tangible as touching it, before that, Kabbalists don't call it attainment.
But this is also towards that same Kabbalist, that same receiver, towards that same person who's attaining. Not that he attains something that is this the truth, the absolute. No, it's only towards him, towards those senses that he attained.
Something else we should also read in the article of Freedom, Baal Salam says that there is no scientific solution how a spiritual being can have some contact with corporeal atoms in the body, that it can form some movement for the body. And their entire wisdom did not enable them to find this gap, to cover this gap, to bridge it, to reach this huge difference between the spiritual and the corporeal atom. Therefore, science did not gain anything in all the methods, including the metaphysical methods, in order to add even not a tiny step forward. And therefore, we need only the wisdom of Kabbalah, because all the wisdoms in the world are included in the wisdom of Kabbalah.
We will still have to reveal this, us, meaning all of humanity, I'm talking like this, on behalf of everyone. And, well, let's advance. Do we have some question there?
Menachem from Kfar HaNasi asks, we learn that there is none else besides him. What is the purpose of dividing the wisdom of Kabbalah to philosophy that the Western world lives according to its definitions?
Look, people live today in a form not like the philosophers, especially those great philosophers who felt a little bit about the difference and between the wisdom of Kabbalah and philosophy, and how narrow the philosophy was in general. We're not even trying to reach philosophers and to explain them these things, because in doing so, we destroy their foundation. What will they have? What will remain for them? How can I come to a person and say, your science is a lie, your approach is false, and you're a liar, and all the thousands of years of your development was all on a false foundation? How can I do such a thing? When I did my doctorate, my PhD, the manager of the institute, he's retired now, but he still works, but he's getting close to like 80 right now in his age. But he understood this. He understood. After he heard this work of mine, then he invited us. I remember myself, and Makarun was there, Slutsky's, all those guys. Pasha, you weren't there. I don't remember. So he invited, he was really moved by this, he was impressed by it. He understood that it's not for him already, but he grasped the difference. I saw a person who truly, he set up the table, tea, coffee, cookies, like this. He really wanted to talk in his study room there in the university. I saw that the person grasped something, but from that moment that he grasped, anyhow, he now is also in contact with the Moscow group, and also with several others there. But it's a problem. To grasp a change is one thing, but to enter it and to start and work in it, it's difficult. It's difficult. It's a revolution within a person. Even though they know that they are in a dead end and in a crisis and a shattering and all this philosophy, considering it anyhow. A person who doesn't have a point in the heart cannot study reality only within himself. There's no doubt for him that the reality that he perceives, that this is what's happening. And it's the same problem with evolution. With all things. So scientists reach this from crisis, from within a crisis. They see that according to their studies, the regular perception does not work. This is also particles, also time changes. It's not constant. And the place can widen, can expand, and it can constrict. Meaning everything can be is capable of change. This breaks their heads, and they're like just starting to think, oh, how do we think different? But if a person doesn't come from his study, which obligates him, which convinces him, and he doesn't have a point in the heart, he's incapable. So therefore, to just go to them and to commit them to think differently, it's impossible. It's like to any person in the street. It's like towards every Orthodox religious person. You can't pass on to him a perception that is different than what he's in, because he has no foundation to change his observation on the world. So we need to take this into account. And therefore, to talk to these people only at a height that they perceive, that they grasp. Otherwise, you'll be a mystic, and you'll be giving future telling and all kinds of charms, and because they don't have to understand that it comes through the change within a person. I was yesterday like this, today I'm like this, tomorrow I'll be like this. My beast doesn't change. I, myself, inside are constantly changing. And in accordance, my world is changing. They can't understand this. Every day to be a new person, it's a nice joke. Yes?
Is something else we should read? This is Rabbi Nachman of Breslev from the book Sichot Moharan. He wrote, in a place where the wisdom of philosophy ends, that is where the wisdom of Kabbalah begins. Because philosophers did not research but until the wheels, and from there above they know nothing. And also the wisdoms of the wheels and below, they're also very slim, and they're mainly as known. And the wisdom of Kabbalah begins where they end, meaning from the wheels and above.
We need to interpret that. Okay. Yes. Well,
Chaim from Nes Tziona is asking, how can this article help bridge the differences for the perception of reality of those who study the Kabbalah to the others, to the rest of the world?
All that we know from the wisdom of Kabbalah, we relate to ourselves and towards reality and towards the Creator, which we reveal the upper force according to our equivalence of form towards Him. And the more we will be equal in our form to Him, that we will reveal Him more and more in 125 degrees in the worlds, that's what we call, because every degree is a world on its own. It's the world, a whole world. I reveal my new self. As much as we understand that we need to relate to reality in such a way, and regular people relate to it as they are, they're not changing, they're in a degree of animate, and from within it, from his state, this is how he feels reality, and is proud of this, and he grabs onto this, and he feels himself right and just. We are constantly in changes, constantly in doubts, constantly in the question, why, what, who, where, why. Everything can change from today onwards and so forth. And our whole path is filled with such surprises about ourselves. Don't believe in yourself till your last day, every day. And if you talk to a person from the outside, you'll say, what? As if you're not from this world. You're not a human. Like he understands. So we need to understand his perception, which does not change. That even though he's so strong and certain, until you start breaking him through the crisis, that his whole perception starts to truly crash and shatter into slivers. And then he becomes a small in this small world. He used to have a big world. He used to understand, here, I do this, I do that. And all of a sudden, everything is blowing up. It's shattering. It's crushing. It's like it's breaking like glass, the little pieces. And then he doesn't know, and he's not clear, and he doesn't see, and he's scared. What does he have? What remains with him? Tell me. He's like a small child that doesn't know where my mother is. Where should I hide? What should I do? This is how you feel. This is how you feel in this crisis. People more and more from a despair from. We once escaped from one direction in life, and now from the second direction and the third direction, we developed this, then that. We did revolutions. It was clear to us what to do. Now we're doing a revolution. That's it. We want to change the socium, the society, the social order. And then came the industrial revolution and the cultural revolution. We had some sort of trend towards that was different, that through which we would change. We would grab onto it and grasp to it. That we would say, oh, if we grab onto this, we are certain that this is how we're going to exist and live. Today it doesn't happen because everything is generally and total and connected and from all sides. And the main thing is that it's clear in every simple person, more and more. And this is the problem, that the world, the whole world is shattering to pieces. In this such a manner, what remains? Tell me what? Three things.
Fascism.
Or fanaticism, how should we call it? Fundamentalism.
Fanatism, no.
Fanaticism. And to rise above this, to the wisdom of Kabbalah, you don't have anything else. Because in your regular, healthy mind, in a regular manner, as I live, through education, culture, work, competition, developing technology with all things, space there, and all sorts, it really doesn't work. It crashed. Everything crashed. Nothing remains. Nothing remains for me. What do we reach? What do they say, these three tendencies, these three inclinations? They say you need to change a person. Only Nazism and fanatism or fundamentalism, if you, no matter how you call them, they're saying to change a person to a form that is more fundamental, more stiff, more that let him believe in one thing and to enter in his head some one fact, and that according to that he will work. They make him a zombie, actually. And in this he will receive the foundation for life. This is what they actually do with our neighbors. And therefore they are so ready for this and want this, because it's a salvation. In a world that's all blowing up, it's a salvation. We believe in our God, and that's it. We don't need anything, even to die now. And there are environmental conditions for every single thing. The same for Nazism and fascism, and we're going to go in such a way, and we'll succeed no matter what. A person grasps these short things, give it to him in a very narrow manner, and he feels himself that he exists, because all the rest of rational things don't work in our world. This is the crisis. And the wisdom of Kabbalah, what does it say? We need to rise to an irrational degree. It's hard to grasp, but the battle is clear that against the big, narrow ego, which is trying to grab all the people and flow them downwards. And here it all depends, not on how strong they are or they're not, how not strong they are. They will succeed to change people with their perception, because it appears to a person as a refuge. And what we need is our inner force and the connection between us to bring the upper force, and then it in the inner network, in the inner net, will spread all over the world. Then they will start to feel that there is another path, and they will go on it. They want to drop on a person fanaticism, and we actually open him from within and open his eyes. This is actually the battle that exists here. Therefore, fascists were so much against Judaism, against Jews. Well, and we'll succeed. There's no doubt. And for the time being, we will finish.
Messages before we conclude. An experience called Kabbalah in the north of Israel, Galil Golan. We're going to have a weekly meeting with Rav Lightman, a weekly lesson in Kfar Hanasi, broadcasted live on kab.tv. Apologies, the event has been cancelled.
What a mess. I'm sorry to say that it was cancelled, because it's the days of Hanukkah, and we will do here next Tuesday some event. Yes, and whoever wants can watch us on channel 66 and on the internet as usual, on Cup TV. Or so happy holiday. Hanukkah holiday, and this event, then Kfar Hanasi, we will delay to for another week or 2 weeks after that.
Hanukkah party in the spirit of Kabbalah, a special lesson about the meaning of the inner meaning of the festival Hanukkah. Next Thursday, 13th of December, 6:45 in the Kabbalah centers all over Israel. For details, you can call from Israel 1-700-509-219. Or enter kab.co.il. Siberia is creating future together. We invite you all for a convention in Novosibirsk. Let's watch a short clip. In the coldest times, in the coldest places, the warmest people are gathering. Пусть все покроет любовь. December 7th to 9th, Siberia Congress 2012, Building a Future Together. Registration has begun. Have a great day or night. ואם הים מקיף אותך סביב ולא נשאר אוויר במפרשים ואם הלב שבור לרסיסים כן דווקא אז פתאום רואים ואם ההר עוטף אותך בצל אתה לבד אור אחד ניצוץ בערפל ואהבת לרעך כמוך כלל הכי חשוב בתורה ואהבת לרעך כמוך גם בטוב וגם ברע ועם הזמן הולך ומתקלם והימים חופים בלי מענה המנהרה נראית ללא קצה
כעס אז הוא מתגלה ואם החול כיסה את הפנים במרום קבוע כוכבים אם העולם שבור לרסיסים יש אור אחד